Retired detective Sergeant Darren Birch, author of Twisted But True, escorts you through a zone, the Badge Zone, where stories from those behind the badge range from the bizarre to the supernatural. Welcome to a place of strange happenings, as you're about to enter the Badge Zone.
So I turn, take out the gum, stuff in a paper cup next to the sofa, and turn around. Miranda McKinney throws up all over herself. I knew the second it happened, it was a miracle. I could have been kissing her when she threw up. That would have scarred me for life. I may never have recovered. I'm a miracle man. Those lights are a miracle.
There you go.
So which type are you?
Do you feel comforted?
Yeah, I do.
Then what does it matter?
Love it. I don't know if you recognize... I don't know if you recognize that clip. That was from the film Signs. It's Mel Gibson. The person doing most of the talking was Joaquin Phoenix. And basically, they're thinking about the difference between a miracle and a coincidence. And we kind of all go through that in terms of, that's a weird coincidence. You know, sometimes you can call it sixth sense. Sometimes you just call it, you know, shit happens. It's one of those things where you're not sure what it is. That happened to me. I'm going to share it with you after we come back from this commercial break. A dear friend who died, and then something very coincidental occurred, and I'd love to hear what you think of this, Robin, as well as our audience. It coincidence or just a really cool happening after this commercial break?
You're listening to The Badge Zone. We'll be back right after this. If you like The Badge Zone, you'll love their books, starting with Darren's award-winning Twisted But True book trilogy with close to 100 compelling and funny true crime stories that American detectives with Lieutenant Joe Kenda producer called The Perfect Blend of Humor, Heroism, and Honor. And retired Colonel Dave Grossman declared, Darren's Twisted But True books are hilarious, deep, and powerful. Each book in the series received the Pinnacle Award for the Best True Crime Book, and a story from Book 2 was featured on an ID Channel television show. And Robin's most recent book, Soul Stirrings, reviewed as an often humorous and spiritually uplifting story of a widow's soul-searching pilgrimage to the afterlife. Darren called it a love story, a ghost story, an investigative story. It's a story like no other. And Robin's first book, Victim No More, where she shares her harrowing experiences with rape and domestic violence as Robin takes the reader on a very personal journey through the morass of abuse and loss, and ultimately, survival. These Badge Zone books should be on everybody's top 10 reading lists. And now, back to the Badge Zone.
You know, we weren't going to have a show today, and then something hit me, and like, oh my gosh, it literally threw me for a loop. And it deals with that very question, miracle or coincidence? Because, you know, coincidences can happen.
Yes, right? They can.
Yeah, absolutely. All the time. But in investigations, as a cop, and you talk to any detective, he'll say, I don't care if it's coincidence. I'm going to treat it like it's not.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. It's too coincidental to be real. And that we'll investigate the living crap out of it. And sometimes it is simply a red herring, something coincidental. But sometimes it's just so heartfelt and close to your heart that you kind of want to think of it as a miracle. And again, I don't know what the answer is. You remember Jim Markey?
I do. Incredible guy.
Yeah, he was my boss for 7 years. And then when I promoted, out of sex crimes and became a patrol sergeant. And then I went to child crimes for a couple of years as a child crime sergeant. And I worked with him as a supervisor over a very big investigation that had to do with adult sex crimes and child crimes both combined. And we worked on several cases like that. And I just love the guy. And a year ago, this month, April 30th, he passed away, what I thought was sudden. I had no idea he was fighting this three-year cancer. So it's a fair question to say, well, how good a friend could I have been not to know he had cancer? But he was very private, and many of us were just shocked to learn of his passing, and yours truly was. So we had him on the show several times. In fact, I had him on a local broadcast radio station when I was doing broadcast radio, but it was the sixth show we had. And we've been doing Badge Boys for, oh my gosh, when we kind of went on hiatus, what, 5 years?
Oh, yeah.
5 years? So, it was now 6 years ago that we had Jim Markey on the show. And this is just a little sound clip of that initial show to kind of give you an idea of who he is and why he's so special to me.
Welcome back to Badge Boys, everybody. As Darren mentioned, we have a great episode today. I am very honored to be sitting with retired Phoenix Police Sergeant Jim Markey, who I never had the pleasure of working for, but I did work around, and he had an incredible reputation. And the baseline killer, as I know it, because I was involved in 3 of the 9 murders working alongside some of our great investigators. But Jim was there from the beginning before it really unfolded into what we now know is one of the worst times in the history of Phoenix that coincided with the serial shooter. Just an unbelievable time. So, Jim, thank you very much for joining us. Welcome, and can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Thank you.
You know, I had the privilege and the honor to work for Jim for 7 years, and then we worked together on some sex crime cases. But I don't know if there's anything as far as the community that thinks of as big as that baseline rapist case. We've had some horrific cases, but that one lasted so long. Before we get into that, though, I'd love to hear about what you're doing now, Jim, as far as business.
Well, first of all, it's great, Jason, to see you.
Thanks, sir.
And you're active. And Darren, it's nice to see you again. I appreciate the opportunity today to be here. I'm still working in the area of sexual violence. So I've taken a position with Research Triangle Institute. It's a research and development corporation out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And right now our big project is working on the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative, which is a BJA-funded project. They have put out over $100 million in grants, and right now we're working through unsubmitted, untested rape kits across the country.
And we're back on the zone. The reason I wanted to play that clip from Badge Boys, number one, I love hearing Jason Schechterly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, any excuse to listen to Jason Schechterly. And I miss him dearly. We absolutely are so happy for his success and what he's doing, traveling the world, and just inspiring so many people. But who also inspires me is Jim Markey. He inspired me when I was a detective because he had this passion for the cases. In fact, to be quite frank, I was actually in sex crimes before he became a sergeant over us. And I hate to use the word over because he was a facilitator. He was a true enlightened leader. He wasn't one of these that it's my way or the highway. To that end, when he came to our detail, he immediately went to me and a couple others that were senior detectives on the squad because he had never worked sex crimes. He'd worked assaults. He had worked robbery. He'd worked other crimes. But these crimes, just like homicide, have a certain specialty sense to them, investigatively speaking. You got to really kind of understand that animal in order to navigate through the investigation, to make it forensically friendly when you go to court. It's very vital to understand the nuances of each of these crimes. And to that end, he was very humble. So why are we doing this way? You know, he was very open. This one of the cases, almost like what's his name in that the karate movie, Take the Pebble from My Hand.
You're actually talking about the grasshopper kung
yes,
fu kind
kung
of thing.
Kung fu, that's
kung
what
fu,
it was.
Yes.
Yeah,
take
with
the pebble from my
hand. David
Carradine. Yes.
He surpassed us because he became an expert in the DNA aspect, in the sex kits, and the reason I play that clip is because it's so telling that when he retired after 30 years of law enforcement, he stays in that realm of helping the victims of these cold cases where their sex kits are just sitting on a shelf with true evidence that in today's DNA world can solve the crime. And so that's what he did in his last breaths on this world.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's coming from my perspective, being a survivor of sexual assault, it's amazing, especially now when you turn on the news and you see a case that's been solved, you know, 25, 30 years later because of the DNA and what these guys are doing. And it's just phenomenal that, you know, that these things can sit around forever, but and there's such passion for them to do this.
And thank God, because we've seen these police warehouses with property get lit on fire. We've seen them get water damage. In fact, that's what happened to Phoenix Police Department. They had water damage many years ago, so I'm not letting cat out of the bag or anything. And these things can be damaged. And then you've lost that critical evidence and can put a predator off the streets. In looking at his retirement, again, in 2016, Jim was recognized by the Joyful Heart Foundation for his work involving the backlog of evidence testing kits. In 2017, he was appointed by the United States Secretary of Defense to a five-year advisory committee to investigate and the prosecution and defense of sexual assaults in the military, because there was a big problem with colonels just slapping slapping the hand of the offender and saying it was a training issue instead of letting JAG, the court and the military, process these individuals as a sexual assault. The commander, the battalion commander, had the ability to say it's just a training issue, and that's wrong. And Jim was part of that committee to stop those sort of injustices. So I just love him on so many levels. And you got to be asking yourself, so what's this have to do with miracle and coincidence? I'm going to go in a different complete realm, and then I'll bring it back to that question. For the last year, Robin, have I been trying to get involved with Hollywood to the extent of getting a film adaptation of my book? Have you, can you talk to me about that a little bit? Are you aware of that?
Oh, yeah, I'm aware of that. I mean, you've gone to all these steps to produce a trailer. Now you're actually in another realm of producing a trailer and hiring professional crew and actors to get this done for you to make it something big enough to be on the big screen someday with investors. Yeah.
And we're not there yet. We're real close, though. We got a studio, a major studio, I won't say who it is, that's really interested. And this has been a year-long project. So if you will, since Jim's passing, this is what been occupying my time on top of the doing the Zone and, of course, being a grandfather and in life in general. This is taking one story from my three books and trying to get it adapted into a film, which is really a daunting task, no doubt about it.
Yes, it is.
And so I end up, like you said, Robin, I got a director out of Hollywood, a real deal, and he's amazing. And so I'm having these discussions, and I created what you call a screenplay for the short film, which would be the pitch to the studio, which the studio requested, which is the biggie. They want to see this. So that's them opening the door for you. So I created a screenplay based on the real screenplay, just for the short film. And it was a case that Jim Markey and I worked together, him as my supervisor and me as a detective, as the case agent, to the point where we flew together to Dixon, Illinois, to interview the suspect who we believed did the murder and sexual assaults across the country targeting the elderly. You can kind of see why my passion was to get this out there, because do you have any idea how many, I hate putting you on the spot, how many elderly abuses occur each year?
Oh, I would say it's probably in the thousands.
5 million.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is an epidemic of incredible proportions. I would argue, and a lot of people could have a solid argument against me on this, but I believe the elderly community is our most vulnerable group in our community. You could argue it's kids. And my God, kids are so fragile, so targeted by pedophiles. But there is a group out there that is dedicated to protecting the children, whether it's in your neck of the woods called Child Protective Services. There's all sorts of, and they are a responding unit that goes with police. They have laws in each state that allows them to take a child out of the home if they think it's an in-home abuse. There's laws that really gear towards children, number one. Number two, children should have some type of a protective foundation, whether it's a mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle. There's somebody there in that family. Now, again, many times it's that individual who's abusing the child, and that's when we come in. But there is that mechanism. If you think about the elderly, first of all, there is, you know, is there adult protective services? Yeah. It's 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, banking hours. They don't go to any scene. They just rely on the police reports based on that. So they don't literally go in and ensure their safety. And many times the person dies before they're even involved. They are a in-basket entity. They are, number one. Number two, when you look at the elderly, their family structure many times is gone. Many times they literally outlive even their children. And we live in a society, unfortunately, many times grandchildren aren't as close as in other communities. So you don't have that inherent protection. And third, and finally, children, when you see a child with a broken arm, broken leg, it's massive trauma to do that because their bodies are very limber. And that's immediately the red sign to say, oh, okay, this is a spiral fracture where somebody was literally trying to almost torture the child by rubbing in opposite directions on their arm or leg to injure them. And it's a spiral fracture. It's very difficult to injure a child accidentally. It happens. It does.
Right.
But the thing with elder abuse is they fall down, they break a hip.
Right.
And it's so much more difficult to prove the abuse based on the level of injury because they are fragile. So these are all these three components I listed, in my world at least, I believe they're the most vulnerable element in our society next to children. And when I wrote this story, I wanted to put that out there and put out there this need to protect our children, to protect our elderly along with our children, you know, because it's, to me, it's just, if you will, my rallying cry, like Jim Markey had with the Sex Kits. This is something I really want to put out there. It's why I wrote in the book. I go to conferences, lecture, and so forth, and I talk about this particular case. In fact, it was on ID Channel. They had that same very case. The reason I say all this is because when I was talking to the director, talking about the screenplay, he said, I really want to put something that's missing in your screenplay. And I said, oh, please. I mean, my God, have at it. You're the expert. You know this world, not me. And he said, I want to put the Jim Markey, your boss, in it. I went, oh, my God.
That gives me chills.
Right?
Yeah.
And it gets even more miraculous or coincidental. So it's been a year since Jim passed away. And I read the obituary. I saw that. And I gave my, you know, my condolences to his wife, who I've met and before and so forth. But I haven't heard anything, you know, for a year. There was no a memorial type service. It was very tragic to the family. He was young. He was 60 young, if you will, you know, in good shape and cancer. Like it devastated very 3 years of difficult pain for Jim. And so I hadn't heard anything. And so when I'm talking to this director, we're doing the casting. And again, as the executive producer of this short film, I'm looking at the locations. I'm looking at casting. I'm doing all this. And we're having a tough time, you know, with the Jim Markey character. And the director said, I saw you in other things, Darren. You've done acting. And me and Robin, you have done acting together. We've been in film together.
Oh, my.
And so out of the blue, he said, why don't you play Jim Markey?
I knew he was going to say that.
And I got I got chills in my arms right now. And it's like, oh, my God, I would love to honor him by portraying him. You know, it doesn't even have to be in the film, just even for this pitch. I love that idea. Yeah, I'll absolutely do it. That same week, I got a text from Jim's widow. And she said, we have a memorial for the one-year anniversary, and I hope you could come. And I said, not only will I come, not only will I be there and with a pie in hand, because he loved pies, but I told her about this film, this short film that we're doing, and how I wanted to portray Jim to honor him, because my passion is his passion, and he was my mentor, and we had the same love for community, his with the sex crimes kids, me with the elderly. And she was just overwhelmed because she remembered that case. She remembered her husband taking this detective to Illinois and interviewing a monster. And so is this a coincidence? Yeah, it can be.
It's a great way to honor him. And I have to tell you something as you were talking about this, why I got weird feelings. Because we kind of know by now that I get visitations from people. And as you were about to say that, I had this, and I'm making
a fist,
a partial fist. It's not completely
right.
Full. My thumb's on the outside, and it's a badge on a chest, and it's a couple thumps on the badge where the heart, the badge is over the heart on the chest, and it's a couple thumps with the fist on the badge on the chest. So this is the right decision.
And what you don't know is that's what Jim used to do. Like when we'd have moments, we would go in training together. We'd lecture together. We went to conferences together, and we would have the same hotel room. We would literally have a hotel room while everyone else is out at the bars partying. And the two married guys are sitting in a hotel room watching Sex and the City, drinking a beer. That was the big joke I had with Jim. We'll always have Sex and the City. That was my joke. And he would make that thump on the chest. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Yeah, and I'll keep talking because Robin's in tears right now. So this just kind of hit me when with that tease in the beginning with Signs with Joaquin Phoenix talking about something as silly as
lights.
Taking out his gum before he kissed a girl who at that exact moment vomited, and he looks at it as a miracle because it would have completely changed his sexual relationships in the future going forward. As silly as that is, it hits home. The silliest coincidences can be truly miraculous.
And so how's a healthy skeptic in you now?
again, I can always say it's coincidence, but man, what a coincidence.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just wanted to share that with the Zone audience and with you, Robin.
Oh, Darren. Wow. And for me to feel what I just feel and what I felt and saw him do, or at least what I think was him doing it, reflecting back on what you just said, that's, very powerful.
There's no good way to close this segment other than, hey, check out Signs, check out The Hereafter, check out some of these movies that just are really, truly beautiful. And hopefully in a year or two, you check out another movie with Jim Markey. So till next week, stay safe.
Thanks for listening. This week's journey into the Badge Zone is coming to an end. But join Darren next time as we delve deeper into the zone, the Badge Zone.